Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you today to this program, and we'll be beginning a new letter today, the letter M, and we're going to study in the Scriptures and see what the Bible says in an ABC way of missions. Missions. Missions is very important in the Word of God. It's been around as long as I've ever known anything about Christianity and being saved. But as we get into this, we want to find out what the Bible says concerning missions. And when we think about missions, we think about missionaries. And that's probably the most prominent thought that people have when you say missions. It automatically kicks everybody's mind over to missionaries and like going around the world and going to all these places. And that is scriptural. We're going to study about that. And who were missionaries and what kind of missions the Bible talks about. And some various different things and topics concerning missions. But we're going to keep it on an ABC level and just study what the Bible says, basically. But one thing I want to bring up before we get started is that born-again, Bible-believing Christians, the body of Christ, we are not our mission. The main mission of the church and the main mission that the Bible teaches more than it teaches anything else in the entire Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our mission, if you want to use the word mission, and that's what we're studying, our mission is to be waiting and be prepared and be waiting on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that seems, whenever I was a boy, the preachers back in the 50s and 60s and even on down through there in the Philadelphia era, that's what they preached. And you remember the old preachers, that's what they talked about mostly, was Jesus is coming. Are you ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? And then they would preach about the rapture and the catching away of the bride of Christ. But the Bible teaches us in more places than it talks about the tribulation, the Antichrist, talking about the Roman Empire coming, a revived Roman Empire, talking about you name it, even salvation. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is more important to the Father than even salvation is. And there's some people that disagree with that, but that's what the Bible says. The main thing that the Father's interested in right now, he's already taken care of this salvation problem. His Son paid the penalty. And whoever wants it can get it. And whoever don't want it, then you don't want it. But as far as salvation goes, it's already taken care of. And the Lord Jesus Christ has already done it. What the Father's interested in now is His Son getting what He deserves. The Father's interested in His Son coming down here and getting possession of what He's already paid for with His blood. And setting up the kingdom and His Son ruling and reigning. That's what the Father's interested in right now. And that's what we're waiting on. And that's what Jesus is waiting on, is the Father to give him permission. Say, okay, son, go down there and get your possessions. And here he comes. And that's what we're supposed to be waiting for. Now, in the first epistle of Thessalonians, chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The wrath to come. You see, that's what the bride of Christ and the church is supposed to be doing right now, as far as their mission. We are supposed to be waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're supposed to be growing in and nurturing in the Word of God and honoring the Lord in our lives and glorifying Him and taking care of one another in the body of Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Not interested in the world out there and all the little doodads and the things that the world has, and definitely not following the devil in any manner. And trying to bring and sacrificing our lives in the body down here for the betterment of the people that are in the church and our brothers and sisters, and taking care of them and honoring the Lord and behaving and honoring what the Lord has commanded us. So as far as missions goes, the first and foremost thing is that we're supposed to be waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we'll get on into what, as far as missions and missionaries, and study a little bit about what the Bible says concerning the Lord's commandment before He left. And they call it the Great Commission. And the Great Commission has been, let's just say that the Great Commission is not questionable. It's not that whether or not it is being carried out. It is being carried out. You got born again, didn't you? That was 2,000 years ago He gave that commission. And 2,000 years later, you got saved because somebody carried out the mission and told somebody else and told somebody else and told somebody else, and it came down to you. The mission is being carried out. And the Word of God is all the way around the world now. We're almost to the end of the church age, and we are definitely in the dispensation of Laodicea at the end of the church age. And excuse me. And yes, we are supposed to be winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the ones that take the message, but you'll find in the scriptures that all of the people that were called to be missionaries, that's exactly what happened. They were called to be missionaries, and they were called for specific duties. Now, every Christian in the church and the body of Christ has specific duties, and that is to obey the Lord and His Word and to wait for the Son to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. But as far as missions, every one of us has a part in the mission of carrying out the Great Commission, which is what the Lord commanded before He left and ascended back to heaven. I'm not trying to belittle winning people to the Lord. I am a soul winner also. The Lord taught me how to do that. And I do have a burden for souls, and you should too. Every living, breathing person with blood running in their veins has a soul inside that body. And that body's going back to the grave, and I'm talking about everybody that walks by you and you pass and bump shoulders and rub shoulders with throughout the day and the month and the year and this little bit of time that we spend on this earth, some of us 60, 70, 80 years, this little bit of time we spend on this earth, we're supposed to be productive and bearing fruit. But there's all sorts of different kinds of fruit. There's reaping and sowing and watering, and when it comes to winning souls, and some people are going to get to heaven and they're going to have not won any souls as far as reaping and gathering the fruit, as far as winning somebody with their own mouth with the Bible. Okay, but their prayers, they prayed for so many people, and they got credit from the Lord for praying and praying and praying and praying. There's all kinds of different missions. but when I started this out, I said that when we think of missions, and the main thing, whenever a church brings up missions in the pulpit, most of the time they're talking about missionaries. And the Bible is clear about that, and there is such thing. So this is just an introduction to this missionary study, but I want you to understand that missions in the Scriptures is a wide variety of things, not just called people to go out and win souls. The Lord's given us a bunch of missions as far as our responsibilities. There are some people in the church that ain't never going to be able to go out and soul win and knock on doors and preach on the streets and so on and so forth. The Lord has called people to do them things, but they can pray, and there's other people that can provide the funds to do it. And the necessary needs to do it, and that's scriptural, and we see where churches have done that. But there's going to be some people that aren't going to go overseas, that aren't going to be called to go places. And there was people in the beginning churches, in the first churches, that didn't do that either. But they provided for the ones that did. And we're going to see that. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that the enemy tries to make you feel guilty about just about anything he can get away with. And unless the Lord has called you to a specific ministry, then you wait on him. And you wait for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you obey what the Scriptures tell you to obey right now. There's enough in the Scriptures as far as us just being Christians that if we put to mission on ourselves, we'd be busy we're supposed to be conforming into the image of Christ. And we've got enough of a mission about taking care of ourselves and being right before the Lord and letting our light shine and being a good testimony and drawing people, you know, just your testimony alone and bearing the light of the gospel and living your life next to your neighbors can draw people to Christ. And it does. Your testimony draws people to Christ. Your language draws people to Christ. But there is such thing as literally the church sending out specific people that are specifically called by the Lord for specific places to talk to specific people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after that, that's just the beginning of it. After they win them to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're to start a church there. The same thing that they left to go do is the church, the body of Christ. You see, it's the same thing everywhere. But the Lord did say it, and we're going to go into that. Now, at the conclusion of the Lord's ministry, the Lord's earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ committed his church to the continuance of his work of redemption. During the 3.5 years that the Lord was ministering, he went about and he won people he preached the gospel and taught the people and won the people to himself, and the people believed on him. Now, to the assembled body of baptized believers, the Lord said, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." That's in John chapter 20 and verse 21. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Now, he was talking to the apostles and talking to the disciples there, and it's mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. And five of those men, the authors of those books, wrote about the Lord saying that. So it must have been very important to the Lord, of course. And winning souls is very important, because if you and I had not been won to the Lord, guess what kind of state we would be in right now? We'd be headed to hell and without God and alone in the world and without God. And without any kind of way of getting back to the Lord, other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. But by his grace, he give you tracks through your life. He give you people to say things to you through your life. And he just dropped a little hint here about the Lord and a little watering there and drew you. And then somebody come along and told you about the gospel. and you believed, and you were saved. So that's the will of the Lord, is that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's it. Whenever we have the love of Christ working in us, that's the way we should feel. The Lord had compassion, but also the Lord didn't put up with a bunch of nonsense and a bunch of God-hating reprobates. If they hated him, the Lord didn't spend 5 minutes with them. He didn't try to win people that didn't want anything to do with him. If they didn't want him, he didn't want them. The Lord went about doing good and healing and giving sight to the blind and loosening the tongues of the ones that couldn't talk and giving the hearing back to people. And he done good. He done nothing but good. But his mission was to come here and sacrifice a body and blood so that salvation could be finished and taken away. Now his mission is to wait until his Father gives him command, and he's coming back. He's not coming back as the lamb. He's coming back as the lion. And he's going to come back down here, and he's going to straighten everything up, and he's going to get rid of all the God-hating people, and he's going to set up a millennial kingdom like he intended and rule it with a rod of iron. And we're going to help him. But as far as mission goes, the Lord did say, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Now the Lord said that. Okay, let's move a little farther into it. The Lord's churches then are to duplicate the things done by the Lord without changing them. Now, while so many things Jesus did could not be contained in any number of books, and the Bible says that in John 21:25, it says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. So the Bible says in John chapter 21 that Jesus done many, 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 many things that were not written down. Okay, but the things that are written for our example, that we should give him glory and live like we ought to live as saved people, as born again people and in the family of God. Okay, but there were some works that the Lord Jesus Christ did consistently throughout his earthly ministry. For example, the Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse 1, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John," see, John mentions right here that the Lord was said that all the things were not mentioned, but one of the things that was mentioned regularly was that Jesus made and baptized, even though he didn't baptize, his disciples baptized, but he made and baptized disciples. The Lord's interest was in preaching the gospel, but preaching the gospel and getting people to believe on him. Because the Son of God was in their presence. The Lamb of God was right there. And getting people to believe this and believe the truth and to come to him. Yes, of course. And we're glad of it because I'm saved and on my way to heaven and have the peace of God in me and have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in me, and so do you. Because of Jesus preaching that and people carrying on that message all the way down through the years until it got in our ears and our heart. So praise the Lord for that. And we don't underestimate that not one bit when it comes to missions. And the Lord said that was a priority of his. But as far as ranking priorities in the scriptures, the Lord said that what's most important to him is to wait on his coming. So see, as far as prioritizing things, salvation has already been and has already been taken care of and paid for. And the Bible says that every man that dies is going to be without excuse. You say, well, what's the use? Well, because we're commanded, and somebody came to you and told you about the gospel, and we're to care about souls. We're to care about people's eternity. And how can we be spiritual and be saved and be in the body of Christ and be in the family of God and not care about souls? How can you be saved and on your way to heaven and knowing it and not care about souls? You can't do it. You can't do it. Now, you might not do anything as far as a work to win anybody to the Lord. And you might not. There might be many reasons that the enemy is constantly working on us, trying to get us to back away from winning souls. That's part of the warfare down here. But Jesus consistently, through his ministry, his earthly ministry, he did some things. One of them was what we just mentioned, that he made and baptized disciples. Another thing's found in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Another thing that the Lord Jesus Christ, and we read through the Gospels, as you read through them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all tell us that Jesus, many, many, many times, pulled aside, got his disciples there, and taught them and trained his disciples and taught them the truth. And we're supposed to carry that on in a mission. We're not only supposed to care about souls, but the church is supposed to be being taught the things of God. There are some people that are just going to be saved, that are just saved and on their way to heaven, but other than that, they don't know anything about what the Bible says. Or anything about what God's will is for them. Nothing. That's the whole reason that we're having this ABC program right here. And listening together and studying the Word of God is because every Christian that's born again ought to know these things. So another thing that the Lord did while consistently is found in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. The Bible says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. One thing that the Lord consistently was doing while he was here and spending the time on this earth in the body, ministering here, was building his church. Jesus built his church. He started it. He called them fishermen while they was out there on their boat, and then he called all the other disciples, the apostles and the disciples, and then he started teaching them. He healed the blind. He healed the sick. He cast out devils. He went about doing good, the Bible says. But as far as missions, the Lord did give specific instructions to the disciples that he was talking to in the beginning of the church. And they passed it down and passed it down and passed it down. And here we today still have the same gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And believing on him, it hasn't changed. There's people that have corrupted it. There's books that have corrupted it. There's religions out there that have corrupted it. There's some of them out there that even say that Jesus is not the Son of God and that he's not deity and then blabbity blab blab blab. But the real gospel is still going on because of missions. Because people have and are mission-minded to the things that the Bible teaches and the truth of what Jesus Christ taught and the commandments that he gave us. Now, the Bible says, let's talk about this. We're going to talk about some topics when it comes to missions, and like we do all the rest of them. But the first thing that we're going to talk about is this, the biblical basis for missions. What does the Bible say when it comes to missions? Now, all this other stuff that we just finished talking about is more or less introduction, because I want you to get an idea about what the real missions are, what the real mission is. Now, when we think of mission, we think of missionary. Any church you go in and you say something about missions, they'll take you to a mission board and show you all the missionaries that they support. And that's wonderful. And they should. And we should. But as far as missions and what the Bible teaches about missions, there are many, many missions. Okay? So, but this study is particularly about missionaries being sent out, but I wanted to give you an introduction about that just so you could be, your mind could be a little broader concerning missions and the scriptures. Okay? And what's, that there are things to the Lord that are more important or more in, I don't want to say more important, that are, like, for instance, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As far as us lining things up in our lives of what is more important than something else, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is more important than salvation to the Father. And it's the most important thing that's going on right now is that Jesus is coming. And when he does, it's done. It's over. Okay? So the biblical basis for missions, we're going to talk about that. Now, the Bible says in Matthew, now what we're going to do is like we did on that last study, I'm going to get the scriptures here, and I'm going to read you the scriptures, all the scriptures to where the Lord Jesus Christ talked about the Great Commission. And we're going to read every one of them and get that in our minds and in our hearts of what the Lord actually said and what the commission is and what it's about, who he gave it to and why he gave it, and then what happened after that and that he ascended and everything having to do with that. So we'll have a background in our minds as we go through this study, already knowing what the Lord has said. Okay? So what I'm going to do now is there's five different places in the scriptures, in the Gospels and the Acts, that give us the commission. The first one begins in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. And here's what it says. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, not just salvation, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That was Matthew's recording, what he put down. Now here's Mark. Mark chapter 16 and verse 14 through 20. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now, we see there that Matthew was talking about that the Lord said to go and to teach, and teaching them to observe all things. We see where Mark said that the Lord said to go preach the gospel to every creature, and that there would be signs and wonders. Well, we know that there would be signs, and we know that there were signs and that the apostles could do things that can't be done today, like healing and things like that. They could do things like that then, but the signs eventually disappeared and were not able to be done anymore around Paul's time when Paul came into the picture. Okay, now, but he said that was the same commission that Mark wrote about, but he wrote it in his words, and we see a little different, not different, but spoken differently. Now, but basically the same thing about the Lord Jesus Christ saying, go ye into the world. Okay, so the Lord has left a commission, and I'm not making it any less important. I wouldn't dare do that about anything the Lord has said. I just want to see what the Scripture says, and so do you, and what's the place of this thing called missions. Now, Luke chapter 24, 45 through 49, the Bible, Luke says this, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures." Notice that Luke brings up the Scriptures. "And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day." There's the gospel. "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." You see, this is pre-Holy Ghost church members. The Lord he's given them the orders and they know what the gospel is because the Lord has died, he's buried, and he's resurrected, and they've seen him alive. And now he is ascending back to the Father, and he's leaving instructions. And his instructions are to teach the gospel to everybody and to win people to the Lord that believe on him. You can't make anybody believe on Christ. All you can do is offer the gospel to them, and they'll either believe or they won't. But the mission is take it to all the people, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, here's what John says in chapter 20, verse 19 through 23. "Then the same day at evening, beginning the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Okay, so we see John's version of the Lord Jesus Christ talking about going into the world and preaching the gospels, or preaching the gospel. And he said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Who was he talking to? He was talking to the disciples that were the first people of the body of Christ, of the church, and that were going to be the first ones to receive the gift of God, the Holy Ghost, indwelling them, because nobody had that prior to this. So the Lord had paid the payment. Sins could be taken away now. And once somebody believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Holy Ghost would come and dwell in just like He did us. And He has been for 2,000 years. And then in Acts, here's Paul in chapter 1, verse 8. Excuse me, I said Paul. What I mean is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem." Remember one of the disciples just got through saying that it's going to be starting in Jerusalem. That's where they were. Okay, "witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea." Okay, outside of Jerusalem is what? Judea. So getting a little farther out. And then he said, "and in Samaria." Okay, you got Jerusalem beginning there, Judea outside of Jerusalem, and then outside of Judea is Samaria. And then he says, "and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Now let me ask you a question. The men that he was talking to were grown men. They were fishermen, a lot of them. Okay, some of them, like Matthew, he was a tax collector, and we know about the other ones that, and plus they had one there that was a devil, and that was Judas. Okay, but the Lord's talking to these men, and they're about middle-aged or so. Okay, and he tells them to stay in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father comes and the Holy Ghost, they receive the Holy Ghost. Okay, and they do what they're told and stay in Jerusalem. And then they receive the Holy Ghost, and immediately after that, they go down into the streets and they start preaching with that miracle of tongues, which is meaning just different languages. But all the people that were in Jerusalem at that time were from different countries, and they could hear the preaching in their own language. And that's what the Lord did that for, was so that they could hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ being preached for the first time out in the streets right there. And all those men, through God the Holy Ghost, was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, where was Jesus? He was up at the right hand of the Father, already ascended. But now the church has begun. The body of Christ is developed. It's began, the new dispensation has started, and the men are out there preaching, okay? And they're doing what they're told from the Lord, going into the world in Jerusalem first. And that's where it started, okay? And then people got saved and believed, and they went back home, and they preached and told about Jesus, and then on and on and on until 2,000 years later, we got saved over here in America. It moved from the east to the west, you see. And when you study your church history, you can see how it got here. A lot about how it got here. But as far as missions, the mission has been going on. And what's the mission? What did Jesus say right there? And what did those men say? What did Jesus say comparing one to the other with these men that we just read in the scriptures? What is the common thing that they were talking about? What is coincidental about every one of them? That Jesus gave commandment to go and to preach about this thing that had just been taken care of, and Jesus said it was finished. He died. He was buried. He stayed 3 days and 3 nights in the earth, and then he resurrected. He spent 40 days showing himself literally to people that he was alive, and then he ascended, and just before he ascended, he said, "Go tell everybody, so everybody can be saved. And whoever believes on me, they shall be saved. And whoever doesn't believe on me is going to be damned." So that's where it started. That's how it started. And whenever the Holy Ghost came upon those men and they were indwelt by the Holy Ghost, the first ones in the body of Christ in the church to be indwelt by the Holy Ghost, where the Holy Ghost stayed in them, they went out on the streets of Jerusalem during, Pentecost. Went out there when all these people were gathered into Jerusalem for Pentecost and started preaching, man. And preaching Jesus Christ. And people began to be saved. And when they got saved, the Holy Ghost went and indwelt them. And still is to today. And nothing has changed. It's the same gospel as then as it is right now. If you're reading it from God's Word and you're following the truth. Now, there's a lot of gospel out there that's a bunch of fake gobbledygook that don't mean nothing and ain't got no power behind it nowhere, and God doesn't honor it from here to China. He don't honor it no, because it's fake and it's wrong and it don't get nobody to heaven. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, people believe on Him, He saves them and keeps them saved. And everyone that's ever believed on Him from the beginning of the church, which we just got through discussing, is still saved today. The ones that died 2,000 years ago, saved to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And their bodies in the grave waiting to be resurrected and be back with it. Be fashioned like unto Jesus' body, glorious body. The same thing, no different. Except we just go into different dispensations, and you have one church, a part of the church that really honors the Bible. You have one part of the church that goes through suffering. You have one part of the church like the one that's in this dispensation that we're in 2019 that's going to be apostatizing the Word of God. They're going to be the church, not the heathen. The church is going to move away from the Word of God. And is. So, we're not talking about dispensations, we're talking about missions. So, there's a background of the beginning of the missions, of what missions is all about. It's called the Great Commission. And that's where the men recorded in the Scriptures, where Jesus Christ finished everything up that He came down here to do, and He was going back to His Father, and He left commandment for it to be carried on and get people saved. And it's been going on for 2,000 years now. And it's right here to us as we speak about it from the Scriptures in this lesson. Okay? So, we're going to stop right there. And whenever we come into our next lesson, we're going to begin with the biblical basis for missions. What you say, well, the Lord said that there's missions in the Bible. Well, what's the basis for it? What do you base that on? What is the doctrine about it? What's the proof? We're going to get in the Scriptures and find out what the basis for missions is. We're going to talk about the biblical plan for missions, how it's laid out. We're going to talk about the biblical challenge for missions. And how the Lord challenges us to go and do these things that He's asked us to do, along with letting our light shine and being and giving God glory in the body while we're waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we're going to talk about the biblical way to support missions. Does the Bible talk about supporting missions? Yes, it does. It gives us many examples in the Scriptures of how the Lord provided for the men that were going out and doing specific missions for the Lord that God the Holy Ghost called them to. Then we're going to talk about who are some of the missionaries found in the Scriptures and talk about them. And then we're going to talk about what were some of the Lord Jesus Christ's missions while He were down here, while He was here. And then we'll have a topic of What are some motives that prompt missions? Some motives that prompt missions in the Scriptures. And then, what does a missionary need to be equipped with? A lot of different things. And by the time we're done with this, you'll have an ABC understanding about what the Bible teaches, what saith the Lord, about what the Bible teaches concerning missions, missionaries, the Lord's mission, our mission, and just missions in general, okay? But let me give you the scriptures for today. Are you ready? The first one is John chapter 20, verse 21. John chapter 21, verse 25. John chapter 4, verse 1. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And then these next ones that I'm going to give you, the next five that I'm going to give you are where Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in the book of Acts, where we read about that and read the whole thing about where the Lord spoke of the Great Commission and the differences that the men spoke about while they were hearing that commission. All right, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. Mark chapter 16, verse 14 through 20. Luke chapter 24, verse 45 through 49. John chapter 20, verse 19 through 23. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And that's the last one for today. Okay? So, thank you for listening and long-suffering through this. But we needed to talk like that at the beginning so we can get an idea, a broad understanding of what the Bible talks about when it's talking about missions. Because it's kind of, nowadays when you go to churches, when you talk about missions, it's mostly the topic of missionaries, which is good and which is true and which is wonderful. But we need to talk about missions a little bigger than that, okay? Because that's what we're going to study. And it all comes together into, you take your fingers and put them, intertwine them with each other and then close them up and how they fit together like that. That's kind of like after we get done studying all these different avenues of missions in an ABC kind of way, it's going to come together in the scriptures just like that to include the Great Commission and missionaries and everything else, okay? So that's the way we're going to do it. And it'll be good, and you'll appreciate it, and you'll thank the Lord for it. And I will, too. So the Lord bless you, and thank you for starting out this study of the letter M. And I hope that you'll join in on the next one, and that you have a wonderful evening. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. And I thank you, and I admire you for honoring our Lord. Bye-bye.